Good morning, and thank you for joining me for Morning Manna. Today, I just want to encourage you guys in the Word, because it seems like in the world we live in today, everything, if you watch the news, if you're streaming services, everything seems to be sprinting, running away from the morals that we know in the Bible, and that can be very discouraging. There's two things that just I've seen and I know from what I see in this world. It doesn't seem like this world's going to get any better, for us at least, right? It seems like it's going to keep getting worse as I've grown older. Hasn't got more moral, right? But the second thing and the encouraging thing is we're in this world, but we're not of it. We are exiles in this world. So my question for you today is, as Christians, as exiles, how do we live in a world that doesn't believe what we believe? There are many Old Testament stories that we could look to, but I want to focus on the life story of four men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. What? You don't recognize those names? It's all right. I probably wouldn't either if I hadn't been studying. I'll give you the names that the king gave them. So this would be the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And then obviously the fourth one would be Daniel. See, now that clicks. It's funny that I don't know what in history where they decided to keep those names, but Daniel was never called Belteshazzar. It's a little shower thought there, but sorry for the squirrel. But anyway, these four men were exiles in Babylon. And I want to look at two examples, two stories that God gives us in the book of Daniel about how they lived in a world that didn't serve the same God they did. The first one is going to be found in Daniel 1. So we can, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Daniel 1, we're going to read it. So let's talk about it for a minute, though. These men, obviously this is the part in history when Israel is in the Babylonian exile, right? So they have taken men, and the king specifically requests good-looking, smart young men that he can bring into his court, that he can train up in his ways, and that will eventually be his counselors. And these four men are a part of that. These four men come in and they will be part of the king's stewards. They'll be one of the king's stewards. And as that, they have certain benefits. They're given all the food that the king has. They're given all of the drink, all of the wine. But we know that in that menu, there are things that God has specifically requested and commanded that they not eat or drink. So what did Daniel and the boys do? Did they fight against the government? Did they fight back? No. They conformed the government, right? They changed the culture. Let's read it. So in verse 12, Daniel is talking to the person above him, and he says, "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego changed that culture. They said, "Our way is better." And they changed what they were in so that everyone was going that. They brought people into the ways of the Lord, right? So we're called to be culture changers, right? And obviously, like I said, the world isn't going to probably be changed until Christ comes back. And Christ is the only one that can change the world. So our job is to bring people to Christ, bring people to the God that can change hearts. Okay, the second story I'm sure you guys know well is the fiery furnace, right? So fast forward a little bit, Daniel and the boys have been promoted to wise men of the king. The king has a dream. Daniel interprets it, and then Daniel goes away. They think during this time Daniel was probably just out of town because he would not have bowed to the statue. But anyway, the king decides that Daniel's interpretation of his dream is good, but he's going to make a statue that is better. So he makes a statue of himself that's pure gold, which signifies that his kingdom will reign forever. And then he commands all of his subjects to bow down to it, which, as we know, that's not going to sit well with these three exiles. So let's pick that up. That's going to be in Daniel 3. And we're going to read a little bit into this of the fiery furnace. So let's go to verse 28. And this is after they haven't bowed. Nebuchadnezzar approaches them. Oh, I apologize, not 28. Let's go to verse. There we go. Technology. Sorry, guys. Let's go to verse 16 in chapter 3. So, 16. After the king has come and address them for not bowing down, here's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have to say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if it not be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods. Sorry, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the 4th is like the Son of God." So at this point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up for their beliefs. They stand up for what God has commanded them to the point of death. They say, "King, our God will save us from that. And even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down." Now, we haven't got that far yet in our culture, but the day might come where we have to choose. And the amazing thing here is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are faithful to God, and God blesses that and changes the heart of the king, right? It doesn't change the whole nation back to leadership, but the king does make a decree. Let's read this in verse 28. It says, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent an angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yield up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. So these three stood up for God, and they put their lives on the line and stood and were faithful to God. And God, in his faithfulness to them, God seeing their faithfulness, he promotes them. And the king decrees that that God, there's no other God that can do that. So, as exiles in a foreign land, we are to be faithful to God. We are to witness. We are to disciple. We are to bring others to God. We are to stand for what God calls us to do in his word and change the culture of that circle that we have, that circle of influence that we have. Bring them to Jesus, who's the only one that can truly change that culture, that can truly change the heart. Just to finish this up, because it seems like a lot of, you know, down. Chapter 29, is a letter to exiles from Jeremiah, and he gives them specific instructions. Now, I don't want to go into the whole thing. I just want to get to the encouraging part. Because as exiles, this is not our home. This world is not our home. We wait for the day that God brings us home to him. And there's an awesome promise in Jeremiah 29 that I just want to read to you guys. So let's turn, and we're going to read Jeremiah 29, and I would like to read 11 through 14. Obviously, we know 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope, future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place which I sent you into exile. Now, this was a letter to the Jews, but I think there's a lot of correlation for us here, too. We are exiles. God has promised to come and take us home. And we can live in that promise. That is our hope, right? This is not our home. We get to come and have home with Jesus for all eternity. That's the encouraging word. Thank you guys for tuning in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would just speak to people. God, I pray that you would just encourage hearts, God, as we are going through a tough time. God, I pray that you would help us to be strong in your word. God, help us to study, help us to pray, help us to disciple, help us to lead others to you. God, because that's what it's all about. God, you are the treasure. God, you are everything. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. I pray that you'd help us to have an amazing day. It's the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thanks, guys.